This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled to be joined by Jonathan Goldberg. Jonathan is the Chief Information Officer at Edward Elmhurst Health System Hospital, EEH. You'll correct me to make sure I hit that right. A great health system in Chicago's west suburbs. Jonathan's going to talk about the role of CIO today, enterprise programs versus applications, and how to rationalize the two, and priorities, and more. Jonathan, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Glad to be here. I'm Jonathan Goldberg. Like I said, I'm from Edward Elmhurst Health. Been in the healthcare business now for just about 30 years. About half of that is in the chief information officer role, and you know, certainly both as a consultant as well as in working for vendors. But certainly my passion is being on the provider side of the business, and that's where I've decided to sort of stay in my career at least over the last 20 years or so. So it's been an interesting ride, and looking forward to seeing what the next few years hold.
I bet. Well, Edward Elmhurst is a great institution in Chicago's sort of near west suburbs. He had built a new hospital move a couple of years back in a beautiful place. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about the role of CIO today and like top priorities of CIO today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, certainly I think the role, depending on each organization, is going to be, you know, certainly a little different. For us, we're focused on a couple things. You know, certainly the digital and virtual experience of our patients and our employees, and that's you know, that certainly has been amplified and certainly had a lot of press over the last year as the COVID issue has been among us. So certainly we already had a significant digital presence that we were trying to expand on, both from a competitive advantage as well as just, you know, really trying to make it easy to do business with us, both for our internal and external customers. You know, analytics is heavy on our roadmap. You know, if we're going to be a data-driven organization, it's really important for us to focus on that. So we've invested a lot of time and resource in building up our analytics program. And the other thing is just trying to focus on foundational work. You know, while we have a lot of, you know, parallel work going on the innovations in the innovation space, and even having a venture fund. One of the things, though, that we certainly realize is that we own a lot of tools already, and really haven't necessarily maximized the use of those tools. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're extracting as much value from that as possible. And then I'd say the last is really around people and sort of, at least more selfishly from the CIO role in IT, is really that internal branding and really kind of people development. We're only as good as the people we have and our leaders, and we're certainly spending a lot of time, and it's sort of a passion of mine, is to how can we really extract the most out of people and make sure that they're enjoying what they do, because obviously if you're having fun and you have purpose, you really maximize people's performance. So you know, we just want to make it a great place to work, and I think we've already succeeded in that. We never want to rest on a laurel. Status quo is never good enough. So we're definitely focusing on that as well.
So we love those thoughts, sort of great people, great work on the foundational efforts of the system, which we'll come back to in a second, constantly improving data analytics to be data-driven and really be good at it, and then digital and consumer experience. And on the foundational issue, talk to us for a moment about this mix of platforms versus applications versus trying to avoid the constant purchasing of the shiny new system or application that somebody wants versus making the most of what you have, and how you get that right balance. How do you manage those kinds of issues?
Yeah, we certainly can fall victim to the shiny new things, and you know, and I think the reality is this technology is moving exponentially quicker than we can act, and so you know, you will certainly continue to see that onslaught of new things, and there's some great stuff being developed, but you know, I look at it this way, at least to start with, as we kind of figure out how to balance those. You know, we've made some great decisions with investing in sort of platforms, And we want to make sure that those things, and they're continually evolving as well. So we need to figure out how to get really skilled and adept at maximizing the use of those tools and making sure that, you know, at least at minimum, it's kind of, that's that solid foundation. It's not shaky. But with regards to sort of how do you sort of figure out from an innovation standpoint in the shiny new thing, it's, you know, today, if you look at many health systems, including ours, phenomenal healthcare is happening right now. And it's happening with the tools we have. It may not be as efficient and effective, and certainly we need to kind of fine tune that, but we're actually able to do great healthcare. So I always tell people, let's not rush decisions. Let's be thoughtful. Let's make sure that we're prepared to act on that next piece of technology or that next application. But let's also make sure that we're ready operationally, because that's the other thing, is it's really easy to buy things. It's really hard to implement them. And, you know, because no one wants to change operationally how we work. When you've been doing something for a long time, you know, it's that behavior change is really hard and it's disruptive. And so you kind of tend to prioritize those a little bit lower. But we have to be good at the whole package, buying technology, adopting it, and also changing to work with the technology, not against it.
And talk to us for a moment about the issue of, you talked as one of your top priorities, and of course, great people, developing the culture. You know, there are some technology salespeople that would say, you know, you could use our technology and you need a lot less people. And all of us know, in hindsight or in reality, there's really a great balance between great people and great technology. And even with the best technology in the world, you still need people to leverage, make decisions, to use it, to implement, to all kinds of things. In running a great CIO department, a great information technology department, what's the mix of people skills versus technology skills? And in deployment as well, what's the mix of people and technology?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's not necessarily one size fits all. I mean, there are roles that are certainly very technical. If you're managing your data center, your servers, your storage, your desktop computers, that's going to be a very technical role and a little bit more heads down. When you start looking at your application staff, your informatics staff, your project managers, those are people that need to have leadership competencies, those relationship building competencies, influencing competencies, the things that help you relate to your customers, be able to communicate with your customers, and to really be able to have those listening skills. So I would always argue that, I mean, obviously there's, you can't survive without having those technical skills, but you'll really be a poor performer from a department standpoint if you don't have a lot of people that have the people skills. You look at it, I always look at it like this: if you had a hospital filled with 500 nurses, for example, who had really bad personalities, you. It wouldn't work. You have to have it all. You need the complete package. And so IT is no different. Sometimes we kind of give them a pass because, they're kind of behind the curtains, or maybe they're in the basement. They're considered technical. So they're supposed to be behind a computer, but those days have changed a bit. We need to be true partners with the organization, and elevate the role to one that is more advanced than it's been in the past.
A different question. As you've moved to the Midwest, have you been able to become a Bears and Cubs fan, or do you retain other loyalties?
Go Eagles. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll support the teams that are in my area. I'll never disparage them, but I certainly have still some East Coast alliances.
But truly, more of a Flyers, Eagles, Sixers fan,
Mets,
and so forth, and Phillies. Natural, yeah. There you go. There you go. So fascinating. And then one other question. Do you ever look at it in terms of you're running X number of applications and systems in the hospital or the health system? Do you ever think about what is the number of total apps you want to have running? Do you ever look at it that way in terms of management? You know, people look at it that way in terms of vendors, how many vendors I want to work with, how many law firms, how many accounting groups, how many everything. How do you rationalize and look at that?
Yeah, no, it's actually a very timely question because we just had this conversation a couple days ago in our executive meeting. It came up as we were talking about budgets and planning. And someone said, well, you know, don't we we have like 400 applications? And they said, and this is one of our leaders. And they said, I heard someone say we should have 300. And I said, I don't know. The question is 300 the right number? Is 350? Is 400? Is 600? I think the reality is it goes back to the beginning of the conversation. And obviously, I'm saying that, although obviously less is better. I would argue that. I think, but at the same time, healthcare, especially sophisticated health systems, they're like 50 different companies under one umbrella. And so while the applications are certainly getting better with more functionality that helps you kind of rationalize more, I would always argue that, are you solving your needs? If 300 applications solves our needs and does what we're maximizing that value from them and getting and utilizing all that functionality, then whatever that number is, that's right. If you have 300 applications, but half of them are being barely used or they're poorly implemented or no one's happy with them, then you've answered your question that you probably could live without some of them. So there's no easy answer, but certainly I think we do have to start to simplify some things. And I think technology is allowing us to do that as it gets more advanced, through automation, through increased functionality, and through just, smarter use of those tools.
Magnificent. No, thank you very much. It's a hard question to answer because there's no perfect answer, of course. And there's certainly things that are barely used that you probably don't have to have in the system, but then the lift of getting rid of them, so it's more hassle than it's worth too, particularly if it's not going to help in the budget and other kinds of things, just management. It's Jonathan, I'll try and do my best as you're in Chicago, in our Chicago area, to convert you to a diehard Bears fan. I realize it will take a long time. But we are very thankful for you joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's a pleasure to get a chance to visit with you.
Yeah, no, good talking to you. Enjoy the afternoon. Appreciate it. And I'm sure I'll run into you at some point when we can get out and about in the Chicago area.